She had just passed the last Frankfurt exit, 32 miles from home, when the brake lights of the car ahead of her flared. She slowed, then slowed some more, then had to press down hard. Dusk was already beginning to gather, the sun a dull glow in the overcast sky. As she crested the hill, traffic came to a complete stop, a long ribbon of taillights that ended in a cluster flashing red and white. An accident, a pileup. Caroline thought she might weep. The gas gauge hovered below a quarter of a tank, enough to get back to Lexington, but nothing extra. And this line of cars, well, they could be here for hours. She couldn't risk turning off the engine and losing the heat, not with a newborn in the car. She sat still for several minutes, paralyzed. The last exit ramp was a quarter of a mile back, separated from her by a gleaming chain of cars. Heat rose from the Fairlane's powder blue hood, shimmering faintly in the dusk, melting the few flakes of snow that had started to fall. Phoebe sighed, and her face tightened slightly, and then relaxed. Caroline, following an impulse that would amaze her later, jerked the steering wheel and slid the Fairlane off the asphalt and onto the soft gravel shoulder. She put the car in reverse and then backed up, traveling slowly past the stalled line of cars. It was strange, as if she were passing a train. There was a woman with a fur coat, three children making faces, a man in a cloth jacket smoking. She traveled slowly backward in the softening darkness, the stilled traffic like a frozen river. She reached the exit without incident. It took her to Route 60, where the trees were heavy with snow again. The fields were broken by houses, first a few and then many, their windows already glowing in the dusk. Soon Caroline was driving down the main street of Versailles, charmed by the brick shop fronts, searching for signs that would mark her way home. A dark blue Kroger sign rose up a block away. That familiar sight, sail flyers decorating its bright windows, comforted Caroline and made her realize suddenly how hungry she was. And it was what now? Saturday? Not quite evening? The stores would be closed all day tomorrow, and she had very little food in her apartment. Despite her exhaustion, she pulled into the parking lot and turned off the car. Phoebe, warm and light, 12 hours old, was wrapped in sleep. Caroline shouldered the diaper bag and tucked the baby beneath her coat, so small, curled, close and warm. Wind moved over the asphalt, whisking the remnants of snow and a few new flakes, swirling them in corners. She picked her way through the slush, afraid of falling and hurting the baby, thinking at the same time fleetingly how easy it would be to simply leave her, in a garbage dumpster or on the steps of a church or anywhere. Her power over this tiny life was total. A deep sense of responsibility flooded through her, making her lightheaded. The glass door swung open, releasing a rush of light and warmth. The store was crowded. Shoppers spilled out, their carts piled high. A bag boy stood at the door.
"We're only still open on account of the weather," he warned as she entered. "We're closing in half an hour."
"But the storm's over," Caroline said. And the boy laughed, excited and incredulous. His face was flushed with the heat pouring down over the automatic doors and spilling out into the evening.
"Didn't you hear? We're supposed to get hit again tonight, but good."
Caroline settled Phoebe in a metal cart and walked through the unfamiliar aisles. She pondered over formulas, a bottle warmer, over the rows of bottles with their selections of nipples, over bibs. She started to the checkout, then realized she had better get milk for herself and some more diapers and some kind of food. People passed her, and when they saw Phoebe, they all smiled, and some even paused and moved the blanket aside to see her face. They said, "Oh, how sweet, and how old?" Caroline lied without compunction. 2 weeks, she told them,